This hour of the Jason Rant Show brought to you by Northwest Safe. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
Now, Snohomish County, despite some Herculean efforts in some cities like Arlington and Marysville, they have seen a significant increase in the amount of abandoned cars and RVs, these derelict RVs all over the place. They've seen that get much, 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 much worse over the last several years. King 5 says this week alone, three derelict RVs and more than 11 tons of trash were hauled off of one street. One street. And it's highlighting how bad the problem actually is, even in areas that are doing a really, really good job going after the problems. And obviously, if you live in this neighborhood or near this neighborhood like Victor does, you have to deal with this nonsense on a regular basis. And of course, you have a sigh of relief that the junk is actually gone now.
Yeah, because our house right in the street, we feel free now. Seriously, it was a big problem for this area.
Of course it was. And while the Seattle Times is busy reflecting on how better it was in the 1980s for some reason than it is now, we're all looking at how bad it's gotten over the last few years. And there's no doubt in this region, homelessness, fueled in large part by an opioid epidemic, it's gotten worse. It's gotten worse. There are neighborhoods all across Western Washington that are covered in trash. There are neighborhoods all across Washington that are dealing with derelict RVs. And then, of course, you've got the activists who get mad when those of us want to actually clean up the RVs. Well, where are they supposed to go? This is their home. There are shelter beds that they can live in. They choose not to. Dave Schonard, operations manager for Snohomish County Solid Waste, says the abandoned RVs have been a huge problem they're trying to deal with.
There was some RVs, other abandoned vehicles, and a lot of garbage. Last year, we had 216 abandoned vehicles on public property.
Think about that. 216 abandoned RVs. They don't just get cleaned up overnight. They stay there for a while. Sometimes people are living in it. As a result of that, there's trash everywhere. This is a reflection of Seattle policies and inaction spreading all across the state, impacting everyone all across the state. When we talk about the bad policies of Seattle and how Seattle influences the region, this is what we mean. Seattle lets people live in RVs wherever it is they want to live. They do not let cops do their jobs in cleaning out these areas. They don't let the people who actually work in nonprofits, they don't let them go out onto the ground and effectively move these people and get a hold of the situation. And as a result, people feel like, I can just come to the region and do whatever it is I want. Now, not everybody wants to live in the streets in Seattle. Some of them want to go into Snohomish County or Thurston County or Pierce County. They go all over the place because they realize, hey, if you can get away with it in Seattle, I probably can get away with it in Everett. I can probably get away with it in Redmond and Linwood and Tacoma and Olympia. This is what happens. The progressive ideology on this spreads, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous for the people who are living out on the street or in these RVs. It's dangerous for the people who are living in communities who don't know who's living in these RVs. Why is it that when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to this particular issue, you have activists fighting on behalf of the people who are living out on the streets, not on behalf of the taxpayers who are spending a ton of money to live in our homes or in our apartments? We spend a ton of money on taxes, and yet we have no one looking out for us. We have no one looking out for us. We have people who claim to look out for the people who are living out on the street while letting them live out on the street. That's the representation that they're proud of. They've got the backs of the individuals who are homeless. We need to show some compassion for them. Your compassion is killing these people because your compassion is keeping them out on the streets. And this is what is happening all across the state of Washington because of stuff that's starting in Seattle. You got to get more involved. Speak up. That's why we talk about Seattle issues so much on this show. Not only to highlight the problems, but to highlight the fact that it spreads. And the one thing I'm glad I'm not getting, and I think the message has come across effectively, we used to get texts, oh, I live in Mukilteo. I live in Shoreland. I completely left Seattle. Now I live in Enumclaw, and this is not an issue for me. Oh, yes, it is. And I don't get those texts many times anymore because you're catching on. So now we got to continue this fight. Speaking of which, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So the bill for mandatory sex education in Washington schools, for now, is dead. The superintendent, Chris Reichtel, that dude who compared the Trump administration to Nazi Germany, he requested this bill. It would have mandated sex education start in kindergarten. And unfortunately, this legislation was politicized from the beginning. It caught a lot of people by surprise. It didn't listen to the other side. It just wanted to ram this through thinking, oh, we've got a whole bunch of Democrats in office right now. Let's just go ahead and push it through. Luckily, Democratic Chair Sharon Santos, she didn't bring it up for a vote. Representative Sharon Santos did not bring this up for a vote. She was at a town hall recently. The stranger happened to be there to record it. And she explained at least one big issue she had with this particular bill.
Well, I can agree with the policy, the politics, and the process of this bill were its undoing and its failing. As the chair of the House Education Committee, I knew nothing of this bill before it was filed.
That seems like a problem, right? That seems kind of like a problem. And this is someone who represents Seattle. This is someone who represents Mount Baker and Columbia City and Madrona. This is someone who's very much a progressive. And she is the one who got in the way of this because she did not like how her own party was handling this bill. And so what have we decided to do on the show? We're no longer going to be the silent majority. We're going to be the vocal majority. And we're going to get involved and we're going to make phone calls or send emails or send tweets when necessary. Here's something that we need to do. We need to thank her. We need to thank her for putting the pause on this particular bill. But understand, the problem is this bill still exists and it does sound actually like she supports it. She just doesn't like the process that unfolded to get this bill out there. So we give her kudos for stopping this bill right now, but then we got to urge her to vote no on it. And that starts with you. That starts with you making that phone call. Text the keyword contact to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text me the keyword contact, just the word contact, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Do that now, and I will send you her phone number to her office. It's still open. It'll be open until 5 o'clock. I want you to call them. I want you to thank them for putting the pause, pressing the pause button on this mandatory sex education bill. And then I want you to follow up by saying, in addition to me thanking you, I also want to say, once this does actually come up for a vote, here's why I think you should vote no. You need to get more involved. Family Policy Institute of Washington has their new executive director. He's a former state senator, Mark Melosha. He told our sister station, Cairo Radio, why he was so upset with this bill.
For goodness sakes, is there any respect for our folks who are Christian or who disagree with the agenda of the LGBTQ community? For some reason, parents are completely ignored in this debate. And do the schools work for Planned Parenthood or do they work for parents? Planned Parenthood and the LGBTQ community wants us to be concerned about their views, but what about us? This bill says it's inclusive, but it's sure not inclusive of all the folks that I know of.
Now, what he's talking about in particular is this idea of teaching gender identity to kindergartners. Now, in a general sense, I don't necessarily have a problem with teaching gender identity to anyone. I just don't trust the state of Washington to do it. I don't trust Chris Reichtel, the superintendent, to do it because he is a hardcore, far to the left progressive. He's a crazy person. He's a crazy person who has compared Trump and his administration to Nazi Germany. And that he's this livid about this bill should be a sign to you that this was not the right move for the state.
57 seats by Democrats with a capital D chose not to move an essential bill to protect kids by bringing them greater education. And I continue to be dumbfounded as to the lack of movement.
Dumbfounded? I mean, one of those words is correct. One part of that word is correct. Text the keyword contact to 1-800-465-8770. I want to see the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline light up with you texting the keyword contact so you can make one phone call to one person so you can be that one voter who makes a difference in this. No longer will we complain about the direction of the state if we're unwilling to spend a minute making a phone call to someone. Call State Representative Sharon Santos. Thank her for stopping the mandatory sex education bill for now. But then also share your concerns that this entire issue is too politicized. And she should, if it comes up for a vote in the future, say no. Text me the keyword contact to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you all the details you need. Don't forget, at 5 o'clock, Fox News takes over with a town hall special. They're going to be doing their town hall with Howard Schultz. He was on the show a week from today. And he is on a mission to get conservatives to get behind him. Now, can he make that case? I've heard from a lot of you on our Facebook page. Some of you really like Howard Schultz. Others don't. Others loathe him for a whole variety of reasons. Let's see what he has to say. We're going to air that at 5 o'clock today. Fox News special, Martha McCollum and Brett Baer will be hosting a town hall with Howard Schultz. But first, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means? It means I get to talk movies thanks to our wonderful sponsor in Alpine Clean at alpineclean.com. The big new movie release of the weekend is yet another superhero movie. However, this one with a notable twist. There's a focus on it being kid-friendly, and it's actually really good. Shazam follows young foster teenager Bill Batson as he struggles to fit in with his many foster families and now foster siblings as he is preoccupied with trying to find his birth mother.
You've run from foster homes in six counties. I can take care of myself.
When you're 18, give these people a chance, because that's what they're giving you.
This is Billy Batson. Make sure you make him feel at home.
They seem nice, but don't buy it. It gets real Game of Thrones around here. Dude, just messing around. You look at me and you're like, why so dark? You're a disabled foster kid. You've got it all.
If you could have one superpower, what would you pick?
Everybody chooses flight. You know why?
So they can fly away from this conversation.
No, because heroes fly.
But after an act of heroism, he is summoned by the great wizard Shazam, who offers him his powers just in time to take on a supervillain, bringing the seven deadly sins in monster form to wreak havoc on Philadelphia.
Say my name so my powers may flow through you.
But I don't know your name, sir.
Shazam.
Are you for real?
Say it, okay? Shazam?
So every time he says his name, he turns into the adult version of himself as a superhero. Shazam is incredibly charming and funny. It is clearly geared towards a younger audience, with many of the jokes just being plain goofy. But it's also got a level of snark and a dark storyline that I think will also please adults. You generally don't get this level of sweetness and heart in a superhero film. And it's in that regard where Shazam delivers the most. There's a quick scene, just a few seconds worth, where there's this throwback to the Tom Hanks movie Big. And there are shared themes between Big and Shazam. Just imagine the adult character, the Tom Hanks character, as a superhero trying to save the world. And you get a general sense of this movie's mood. The third act's big fight scene is a little bit underwhelming from an action perspective, although it is funny. And how they use the foster siblings, how they incorporate them into the third act, I think is going to leave you with chills. It's a tad on the long side, just over 2 hours, but the pacing is good enough to keep both you and your kid or kids happy. I really, really, really enjoyed Shazam, maybe a little bit more than I should have since it is a kid superhero movie, but I think you're going to find it just as captivating and heartfelt as I did. I think adults will really like this movie. Just a quick note, this is a PG-rated film because of language, and they mostly use the S word a few times, so just keep that in mind when you're thinking about your kids and whether it's age appropriate. I don't think it's a big deal. It's certainly nothing that they haven't heard before, but you'll know better than I do as to whether or not that language is appropriate for your kid. I absolutely love Shazam. I know you will too. I highly recommend you see it. It's out now. It's rated PG. I know you're going to love it. Tell me what movie you're going to see this weekend, especially if you're going to take me up on my recommendation to see Shazam. 1-800-465-8770. That's the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text. Tell me what movie you're going to see this weekend. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So let's just briefly talk about the Mariners, even though, unfortunately, they lost today. But the thing is, as of today, despite this loss to the White Sox, the Mariners have had their best start of a season ever. And this comes at a time that is a little bit of a shock, probably also to the club, but to fans, because this was supposed to be this rebuilding year. They basically got rid of all of the players that you've heard of. I could not tell you a single player who's on the Mariners right now. Couldn't tell you. No, I have no clue.
Not one.
Jerry DePoto is the only name I know associated with the Mariners right now. He, of course, is the general manager. He was on with our sister station, ESPN Seattle, and he says he was blown away by how well they got off to the start of the season because of the fact that they basically view this as a rebuilding year.
Oh, we've been great. I can't say enough about the way this club has started the season and how exciting it's been for everybody. To go out and have a little fun. It's been that way since the day we left Peoria and we hit Tokyo, and it's gone on through this homestand and hopefully continues tomorrow here in Chicago.
Now, of course, it didn't continue today in Chicago. They are now 7-2, but still 7 wins. That's insane.
I can only say what I've tried to portray for this project. And again, we're taking a big picture focus, but by stepping back, and what I referenced on the wheelhouse is sometimes you can get lost in the forest and you can't see through the trees. And by stepping back, you get a broader perspective and see a bigger picture. And, you know, I used the phrase reimagination through the off season to illustrate that this doesn't have to be about tearing down to the studs and losing.
Yeah. And look, good point. There's some positives and negatives to this, because here's the reality. How many games are there in Major League Baseball season?
162.
Yeah. So we're at 9 games. That's not a lot. This is so early into the season. For the most part, we should look at this with a grain of salt. Although it is hard to stop once you are a fan of a particular team in a particular league. It is hard to stop getting excited about something. But if you get excited right now, understand this is likely a fluke. This is likely an anomaly in the season, because of what their goals are for this team. It is. I mean, we should just acknowledge that. And having that anomaly happen this early on in the season, giving people some false sense of hope of where the season might go, can backfire. Because let's say you decided, as a fan of the Mariners, that you're still going to watch, but you know that this season's not going to do anything. You know you're not going to win the pennant. You're not going to the World Series. But now you're like, oh, wait, maybe I was stupid for believing that. So then you've built up some hope inside, because fans are fanatics. They're crazy people. They're not emotionally stable. We're not when we're talking about the teams that we love. You might end up feeling even more hurt because you told yourself not to have any expectations, yet despite that, you built up the expectations.
Here's one reason to be optimistic. Every year in the American League, there's always one playoff team who no one would ever expect to make it. Last year, it was the A's. The year before that, it was the Twins. The year the Kansas City Royals won the World Series, they were not expected to make the playoffs. So there's always one team that sneaks in. And another reason for optimism, our two losses have been blown leads. Like, we had been leading the whole game. It's not like we were getting dominated.
Yeah, but that is not good to have that happen.
No,
it means
not.
You can't hold on to the lead. That's a bad thing long term.
Jason, if we go, so we're 7-2 right now.
I told you to call me sir.
If we go 7-2,
yeah,
from here on out, every 9 games, we'll win the World Series.
Yeah, but you're not going to go 7-2.
But if we
from
do,
no, I get it. If we do, I would just prefer that it would be more of a slow burn kind of season from the beginning to towards the last quarter of the game. Like, you're doing well, but you're missing some, a little bit more even keeled in the results, and then go on that hot streak, because you can't keep up this kind of momentum this early on. It's the same in soccer, where that's a sport I'm very passionate about, right? Sounders right now are undefeated, right? They are 3-1-0, or 3-0-1. They've lost none, they tied one, and they have 3 games. So I'm cool with it. Like, we like seeing them at the top of the rankings, but it's the beginning of the season. And most times, teams that do really, really hot at the beginning tend to burn out in the middle of the season, and then they certainly don't last until the end of the season. So in the back of my mind, I always try to be, I'll be optimistic in a general sense, but I still control my expectations. And so that's my only caution for Mariners fans, only because I don't want people to give up in the middle of the season when they're not in a sort of a 7-2 scenario every 9 games, right? Middle of the season, I don't want people just dropping off the face of the earth and saying, ah, we give up, because that's bad for the club.
There's always one team that you never expect. Baseball's weird like
that. You know who I don't expect to be in the playoffs right now? No one! Because it's too early. No one's going to be in the playoffs. How about that? Except the Yankees.
No, the Yankees are the only team in the playoffs.
And the Mets.
And the, just New York teams.
Well, the Marlins.
Right.
And the Indians.
Are you naming any team you could
just... No, these are the... And the Astros.
Okay.
The Padres.
Okay, I can see that.
Blue Jays?
No, not Blue Jays.
Toronto?
I mean...
That's the name of the team,
that,
right?
Right, that is a team. That is a team that
Trailblazers?
Exists.
Trailblazers?
Okay.
It's the Jason Mraz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Mraz Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and telling all your friends. If you don't have the app, please download it. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll send you a link to the app on iPhone and on Android. That way, if you're listening to something that you like, maybe a monologue that's going really well, maybe Saul Spady is getting to the middle of one of his passionate monologues on going after homelessness, but you just got to the office and you don't want to stop listening, but you got to get back into it. Just fire up the smartphone app. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. Wazoo has a bunch of progressive students that are too fragile to cope with opposing viewpoints. So they end up turning to incivility and in some cases bordering on violence to react to some of the conservative speech on campus. Now, as a result, Washington State University decided to hold 2 de-escalation trainings for how these little snowflakes are supposed to deal with Republican events on campus. It's a story we first saw at Campus Reform from our friend Ben McDonald. And in it, they quote Wazoo Police Sergeant Don Daniels as saying the training is necessary because of the rise of quote-unquote programs that are controversial. Now, to be clear, when they say a program is controversial, what they actually mean is a program put on by students who are conservative. They're not reacting specifically to any controversy beyond it being controversial in this campus, on this campus, to be a conservative. Now, I was curious about this because on the surface, it seems weird, right? The training can go 2 ways. Number one, it could claim that these kids who are fragile are not at fault for their fragility, that it's the evil conservatives who are trying to get you to think a little bit differently, and we need to get in the way of that, and I will give you the tools that you need to cope. That, of course, is a dangerous message because, number one, it dismisses the other side unfairly, and number two, you're basically enabling this kind of overreaction to hearing thoughts that they disagree with. Grow up. You're adults. You live in a world in which people have the right to have opinions that are different from your own. If you cannot handle that, if you react in a way that suggests you're intolerant, that's on you. We shouldn't enable, we shouldn't coddle, and we should not tell these kids that that reaction is okay. The other thing it could potentially do, which drives me absolutely nuts, is tell these kids that, you know what? Maybe there is something you need to do. Maybe you do need to push back. I don't know how this training went. I wasn't in any of the training. Ben McDonald wasn't in any of the training. And so we reached out to one of the facilitators, or at least in the story, this guy, his name is Charlie Powell. He is the public information officer, weirdly, for the Wazoo College of Veterinary Medicine. I have no idea why he would be having any say in the actual content of these de-escalation trainings. I have no idea what his background is. I don't know if he's an expert in this. And so we reached out to him because we wanted to talk to him on the show. I had no intention of yelling at the guy. I was legitimately kind of curious what he would do. And so we had all in, three conversations with this guy, two of them by producer Tom, who's the secret weapon in something like this because he's a Coug. Don't say go Cougs. Don't do it. Oh, just do it. Okay, do it once.
Go Cougs.
Okay. So we sent him in first, and he told us no. At first, Charlie Powell was like, well, let me get a little bit better of a feel for who this Jason Rantz fella is. And so he hangs up the phone and then listens to some of my content and then calls us back, or we call him. Did he call us, or did we call him back the second time?
He called me back, yeah. You know, half hour.
Yeah, because he listened to some of my stuff and he didn't like the things I had to say. And I thought this was really, really interesting because Charlie Powell tells producer Tom he doesn't want to come on the show because he didn't want to get into an argument over the radio. That is incredibly ironic for someone who is an expert, supposedly, or at least that's my language, someone who is smart enough, skilled enough in de-escalation tactics to go ahead and be a part of this training. That dude can't handle a radio interview without getting into an argument. That indicates he doesn't know what it is he's talking about. That's not someone who knows how to de-escalate a situation. That's someone who is too weak-minded to talk to someone who thinks maybe differently than he does. And that, by the way, is an assumption of mine. I assume I think differently than him. Unlike him, I'm not scared to reach out to people who might think differently than me and have a civil dialogue with them. But he is a coward. Charlie Powell is a coward. And so, to be fair, this was producer Tom telling me this conversation and how it went. Tom is known in the building as a giant liar. Everyone's all like, he lies all the time.
Yep.
All the time he lies. And so I decided to call Charlie myself. And I called him, and he picked up. Sounded a little weary just off the front. And I told him right at the beginning, hey, this is Jason Rantz from KTTH. I know my producer has been in touch with you. Don't worry, I'm not going to beg you or debate you to try to come on the show. But I want to make sure what he told me was accurate. And he goes, okay. And I said, my producer tells me that you had some hesitation about coming on the show because you feared we'd get into an argument. Is that true? And what he said was, I'm not going to do this, thank you. And he hung up on me.
Jeez.
He just hung up on me. This is the guy who is teaching de-escalation to students on campus. And what it is we learn in the few conversations, the few minutes that producer Tom had on the phone with Charlie Powell at Wazoo, is that he tells these kids not to engage. In order to deal with these other perspectives that might trigger them, his response to these students, do not engage. That is a exact issue that we have to talk about, that we have to address. That is the exact problem with what's going on college campuses and really in society in general. We tell people not to engage because they might overreact, because they might get violent or incivil. Uncivil. That's what we need to address. I hear people all the time who take positions that I disagree with. You know what I don't do? Get so mad that I fear I might punch the other person out or just start yelling at them uncontrollably. That's the message you're teaching to kids? That if you get so angry, just do not engage? How about this? How about engage in a healthy way? How about you see someone holding a position that you don't like, respectfully have a conversation with them, ask them where it is they're coming from. Let them know your position. Then listen to their position. Listen. Not just let them talk, but actually listen to what they're saying and then respond, not with a talking point that you already had planned, but respond to something that they just said. Now, one of the events coming up again at Wazoo is they're putting up this fake wall. It's this cardboard wall that they put up, and it's a conversation about the border. Now, there are people at the Wazoo campus who think that's hate speech. Those people are stupid. There's no such thing as hate speech, legally speaking, and that certainly is not it. But if you don't feel like you can control yourself after that, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I live in a city in which there's a protest almost every single weekend. I live in a city where we've got people who are out there with their pink hats talking about how Trump is a fascist, how Trump is a Nazi, how Trump is Adolf Hitler. As a Jew, I don't really like that kind of comparison because I feel like it belittles the history of my people. But I'm surrounded by people who take on offensive positions all the time. And I've never, ever, ever been in a position where I felt compelled to start yelling at someone, lecturing someone, beating up someone. If that is where you go, there's something wrong with you. Legitimately, there's something wrong with you. You have anger issues. You have control issues. You have a enormous ego to think that it's not okay for someone to think differently than you. And instead of telling you, keep to yourself, go away. No, how about we teach these stupid kids how to engage in meaningful dialogue? I know I called them stupid and then said meaningful dialogue. But still, that's my point. We have to have conversations, not less. More speech, not less speech. If you don't like something on a college campus or in your building, in your office space, in your family at the dinner table, have a meaningful dialogue. Why is it that that's so outrageous? I get that Charlie Powell is probably the wrong person to do this with because he doesn't know what he's talking about when he wants to have meaningful dialogue. This is a guy who has no idea what meaningful dialogue actually means. This is a dude who would rather tell people, just stay silent because conservatives are evil. They're the worst. What did he say? He didn't like the platform of conservative talk radio because we're disrespectful to guests. I make a point, generally speaking, to be very polite to guests and let them talk. Let them have their perspectives shown. I'll push back on stuff that I think is wrong or problematic, and we'll have an actual dialogue. We had a whole big issue yesterday on sanctuary policies at churches. I thought it was incredibly respectful.
I just want a disclaimer. Don't judge WSU.
All
by
cougars
our
are like
veterinarian
this. All
and sociology
cougs.
Professors.
All cougars.
Judge
period.
Us by our school communication.
They're the worst.
By our football coach, not by our basketball team, by our women's soccer team. Judge us by that. Just don't.
Nope.
Don't think we're all sociology majors.
All cougs are just like this.
No.
And now you know what I deal with on a regular basis with producer Tom.
No.
Who's trying to get involved in the show prep, arguing with me constantly about this.
Our football coach is teaching a course, a class. How awesome
it's
is
a non-
that?
Okay, it's a non-credit course.
Judge us by that.
It's a non-credit course. And by the way, I wouldn't want to be judged by Mike Leach.
I just want to be invited back to the university one day to talk to kids about my rise up. They do that every year. They bring back cool alumni. I just want to be invited back, and I feel like
you're not cool.
The possibility of that is slowly dwindling into the ground.
No, yeah. Your career is swindling into the ground as well. Sorry, you're not going to be invited. Unless it's for like a pity invite.
That'd be great. I'd be fine with that.
Bring Tom over to talk about the best
burgers in Seattle.
You don't
have to tell the students it's a pity.
You're listening to the Jason Rancher. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, 5 o'clock, we will be preempted for a town hall event with Fox News. Brett Baer and Martha McCullough have a deep dive conversation with Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks. He is trying to get conservatives to jump on board. I don't think it's going to work, but I'd love to hear what he has to say. I hope a lot of Democrats jump on board because that'd be awesome. President Trump threatened to close the border with Mexico this week unless they step up, unless they do more to stop people from coming here illegally. And this comes, of course, as yet another news story about this caravan heading to the border. These caravans are significant issues for this country. These are people who are trying to overwhelm folks over at the border, come here illegally without being vetted. That's a problem. We do not have space for them. When you have a whole bunch of people showing up at the border trying to come in even the legal way, it stretches our resources thin. And so the president said, you know what? Mexican officials, they're not doing anything. They're just letting these people come into their cities and coming over the border. If you do not step up, we are going to close the border, which would be detrimental to you. And frankly, it would be detrimental to us economically. The president did not close the border this week. And so as a result of that, some folks over at CNN and others are calling him a flip-flopper. And it's weird because it seems like they're daring him to close the border, which is what they're probably doing. They know how President Trump works. They're trying to goad him into closing the border so then they can do a whole week's worth or month's worth of reporting about how evil and stupid he is. And so the president responded on his way actually to California. He was going there to visit the border with Mexico, trying to draw attention to this issue. he was asked about whether or not he's a flip-flopper.
I never changed my mind at all. I may shut it down at some point, but I'd rather do tariffs. So Mexico, I have to say, has been very, very good. You know that over the last 4 days since I talked about shutting down the border. If they continue that, everything will be fine. If they don't, we're going to tariff their cars at 25% coming into the United States. So every time they make a car, it's a 25% tariff. That means we make money as opposed to lose money. We probably bring those car companies back into the United States. But if, on the other hand, it doesn't work, which it will, 100%, the tariffs will work just like they've worked with steel. Our steel industry is so hot right now because of what I did with tariffs. Same thing with aluminum. They'll work. But if it didn't work, I will close the border.
So that's an interesting strategy. It's an interesting strategy. I think he overstates a little bit the positive impact these steel tariffs had in China. It's certainly not been the disaster that all the Democrats claimed it would be. The Democrats were at the time saying, oh, my, this is going to bring the economy to its knees. When, no, actually, we just had another fantastic month for job growth. We're at a place right now where we're seeing less and less people without jobs. This has been significant. But it's certainly not been the huge success that he's claimed, because Chinese tariffs are impacting us. And steel is more expensive. It is creating some budgetary issues for projects going on here in Washington State. Again, not the worst in the world, but not the best. I kind of like the idea of using the threat of tariffs to move the needle a little bit in Mexico, because the fact of the matter is we need to move the needle in Mexico. We absolutely do. This issue is untenable. For all the Democrats out there who want to pretend that we don't have a crisis at the border, we 100% have a crisis at the border. I'm looking at the exact same pictures as Democrats who are responding to the pictures of people being put into fencing, surrounded by fencing, as a crisis. And yet in the same breath, oh, it's a manufactured crisis. No, it's not. Where are you supposed to put all these people who are trying to come here? I hear people like Julian Castro, Javier Becerra, the Attorney General of California, saying these are just kids and women trying to come here seeking a better life. Okay, but we still have to vet them. And simply saying you don't like the community that you come from because of the violence or because of a lack of economic opportunities, that does not necessarily meet the standard of being a refugee. You cannot cheat the system and claim to be a refugee when there's no information that would suggest you would normally get that status so that you can skip the line for people who are just trying to come here illegally. I think it should be easier to come here legally. I think we should have a merit-based system. I think DACA residents should be given a pass who are here, who are not breaking laws. But this is ridiculous what the Democrats are pretending to stand behind. This is ludicrous. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We are live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side.